NPR.
This is The Indicator from Planet Money. I'm Adrian Ma.
And I'm Darian Woods.
And today we are joined by a very special guest. No, more than a guest, a new co-host.
Yes.
That'll be with us for the next few months.
She has graced our feed before with incisive analysis of algorithms. She's talked about odious debt. And she's also got us into the world of broadband network speeds. Adrian, you do the honors.
Dear listeners, today we welcome the one and only Weilin Wong.
Weilin Wong.
Hello, you guys are the best hype men.
Welcome.
I'm thrilled.
Glad to have you here for Indicators of the Week and for future episodes. It's going to be good. So, Weilin, what has caught your eye as particularly indicative of this week?
Well, I've been keeping an eye on the Federal Reserve. So this is the central bank we have in the U.S. And it signaled this week that it's likely to get more aggressive in trying to fight inflation.
Inflation is very high in the U.S., but it's also high in other countries, which is going to be my indicator.
But prices for at least one product are actually dropping. Our three indicators of the week after the break.
Support for NPR and the following message come from Burrow, the furniture company known for their easy-to-assemble modular sofas and sectionals. Now they're applying their expertise to the bedroom with all new bed frames, dressers, nightstands, and mattresses, all made with premium, durable materials. Every single order ships free, from a sprawling sectional right down to a tasteful side table. Listeners can take $75 off today at burrow.com/indicator.
It is Indicators of the Week. Weilin Wong, what have you got for us?
Well, you might remember that last month, the Federal Reserve raised interest rates for the first time since 2018, and they did it by a quarter of a percentage point.
Yeah, I remember talking about this, and it didn't come as a huge surprise, right? The Fed had been signaling that it was going to raise interest rates to deal with inflation.
Exactly. So not a lot of suspense around the decision itself. But the Fed's rate decisions come out of these regularly scheduled meetings where central bank officials from all over the country come together and they talk about policy, and then a smaller group will vote on what to do. So this week, the Fed released the minutes from that March meeting. And these meeting minutes are really important because they give a sense of this kind of behind-the-scenes discussion leading up to the decision. Plus, the write-up generally has some, like, juicy hints as to what the Fed might do at their next few meetings.
What has jumped out from these minutes?
Well, according to the minutes from this March meeting, many participants at this meeting would have preferred to raise interest rates by half a percentage point. So that is my indicator, half a percentage point.
The half percentage point that never was.
It is the one that got away, but just for now.
So why then did they just stick to the smaller increase? I mean, if all these people at the March meeting were saying that they wanted the half point.
Well, according to the minutes, they kind of settled on this smaller increase because the war in Ukraine is causing so much uncertainty, especially around things like energy prices and supply chain disruptions. Those are factors that have been contributing to higher inflation, and it's still really volatile in the short term. But the minutes also said that many people at the meeting thought one or more interest rate hikes of this size, half a percentage point, could be appropriate at future meetings. So that's a pretty big signal that the Fed is ready to take swifter action on inflation.
Right.
And half a percentage point would be a milestone. The Fed has not raised rates by that much since 2000. But, you know, when you think about it, inflation is at a 40-year high. So it does make sense that the Fed might be acting more aggressively than we've seen in a long time.
So inflation in the U.S. has been proving stickier than the central bank might have hoped. But Darian, you said this is not just a U.S. problem.
Yeah, I mean, on the show, we talk a lot about the U.S. inflation issue, which is appropriate because inflation is very high at the moment, around 8%. But this is happening all around the world. My indicator is that 3 out of 5 rich countries all across the globe are in a similar boat. They have prices rising more than 5% a year. That stat is from the Bank for International Settlements, and you can think of them as a central bank for central banks. And 3 out of 5 rich countries having an inflation issue is pretty large, considering that, you know, a few years ago, no rich country would have had this issue, and now it's the majority. And inflation is even ticking up in places that have had historically really low inflation, like in Switzerland.
Well, if my dubiously acquired riches aren't safe in Switzerland, where can they be safe?
Waylon, I didn't know that you had dubiously acquired riches.
Tell you what, I'll send you my Venmo later.
Yeah, send them that away.
I'll keep it safe.
Adrian will keep them safe for you. But, you know, you could park it in some remaining places that have yet to see really high inflation. Maybe Japan or China. But I wouldn't be surprised if the inflation surge soon hit those countries too. Like, we're all buying the same coffee beans and microwaves wherever we are in the world. So it can be hard to shield your country from this global inflationary episode. And that's what a lot of lower-income countries are finding. And inflation is even more of a problem in those countries.
I guess my question would be, so we've heard a lot about how the U.S. government maybe caused a little bit of inflation by writing stimulus checks and boosting unemployment assistance, kind of like putting more money into the economy.
Yeah.
But not every country did that, right?
That's completely true. So basically, every rich country did have some version of what happened in America, like some kind of spending relief program or an interest rate cut at the start of the pandemic. But it's true that they didn't all go as far as the US. So I would say, first, don't underestimate the American consumer. Their spillover effects have, you know, ricocheted all around the world. But I would also say that there has been this global shift from services, from going out, from travel and spending money on hotels, to goods, to refrigerators and upgrading your dishwashing machine and buying a new TV. Like, this has been persistent throughout the pandemic all around the world. And supply hasn't been able to keep up with that demand for goods. And it's gumming up the gears. And this inflation is spreading into all kinds of goods beyond just supply chain issues.
But I hear there might be one bright spot in this cost of living quagmire we found ourselves in. Adrian, are you here to pep me up?
I'm going to try. My indicator, it has to do with used cars, and it comes from this company called Manheim. Basically, Manheim is a big player in the wholesale used car market, and they came up with this metric for measuring the price of used cars. They call it the Manheim Index, and the March numbers just came out for the Manheim Index, and they were 3.3% lower than the month before.
Maybe the price increases are coasting to a stop, finally?
Right. That is, in fact, the biggest decline in that index for used cars in about 2 years.
Wow. So almost like the whole pandemic then.
Yeah. For about 24 months straight, the prices of used cars have been on this huge tear, right? So, of course, blame pandemic-induced demand for cars, blame supply chain problems that slowed down the production of new cars. And when you look at the numbers in some of the past months, they are just like mind-boggling, right? In some months, the price of used cars was 40% higher year over year.
I mean, I heard some stories of used cars going for more than new cars.
Oh, that is wild. That is wild.
Obviously, not good for people looking for wheels, right? But even for the people selling cars, they couldn't even find enough cars to sell. Like, for instance, I've gotten at least a half a dozen text messages from this dealership in Ohio that I bought a car from like more than 4 years ago. And they just keep asking me like, hey, do you want to sell us your car back, please? And I'm like, no, I need it. Stop asking me.
They're regretting selling it to you, Adrian.
Yeah, but that is how badly apparently used cars were in demand.
That's interesting.
Anyway, the Manheim Index decreasing may be a sign used car prices have peaked for now. And if this makes you excited, just, you know, maybe keep your foot on the brake because, well, used car prices might have declined in recent weeks, but according to the Manheim Index, they're still about 25% higher than they were a year ago. So bottom line, used cars, still a lot more expensive than they used to be.
There you go. Three inflation indicators. We'll have more on Tuesday because the latest consumer price index numbers will be released. Until then, have a great weekend, everyone.
This episode was produced by Nikki Ouellette with help from Gilly Moon. It was fact-checked by Corey Bridges. Viet Le is our senior producer. Kate Kincannon edits the show, and The Indicator is a production of NPR.